Good morning. It's great. God is doing some amazing things. I just keep meeting people and having conversations with people about what God is doing, both in these gatherings, times together, but there's so much going on that's just outside of these walls. People who are just talking about how their quiet times with God, he's just speaking to them about loads of different things, and how they come on a Sunday and that they that it's just reiterating what God, the things that we're talking about on the Sunday are reiterated by what they've been looking at and thinking about and praying through on Sundays. People who are saying that their sense and understanding of God has grown over these last few weeks and months. People, for some who have been Christians a long time, others who are just new to faith. It's so good to see what God is doing. It may be this morning that you're sitting there kind of going, well, that's great for them. But actually, it's really important that we share stories with each other. We keep things quiet because we don't want to offend. We keep things quiet because we think, well, this is what God's doing with me, but I don't want to say it to anyone else. And it's really important. It's a really important dynamic of our community, of us as a gathered church, to share stories of what God is doing. Revelation says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, which has already been done, and there's nothing more we can add to that, and by the word of our testimony. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony as we share stories of what God is doing. And so I want to encourage us, don't hold back, don't hide away, however big or small the thing that God is doing with you, the thing that he said, tell somebody. Come and tell us. We would love, in this first part of our times and gatherings, we would love to just have space for people to share the things that God is saying, that God is doing, God has revealed to them. And so come and talk to us, because God is doing lots. And for some of us, we don't really see it happening. And we just think, oh, what is going on? And perhaps some of us are kind of on the coal face, kind of just getting our head down, getting on with trying to live things out, as we're going to look at today. And it's good for us to be encouraged, to be reminded that across the body of the church in this place, that God is doing some great things. And I think as a start, I just want us to remember that the context of this, up on the screen there, living a life worthy of the calling. It feels like a word of activity, a word of moving and doing something. And we've heard already today of the TLG, and there's something there that you could respond to and get involved in. And there's giving, and there's something that you can get involved in, and there's a building project that's coming, and that might be something to get involved in. But all of these things, this letter written to the church in Ephesus and to the churches around it, is written first to the people, reminding them of what God has done for them. That we're looking at Ephesians 4, remembering all of Ephesians 1 to 3. All that God has done for us. All that he has won for us. As a response. Not in earning anything. Not in striving to be something that we're not. But resting and settling in who we are and just living that out. And so that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at living a life worthy of the call, which is the first verse. We've been working our way through, and our aim at as we looked at this just after Easter was to kind of do the rest of Ephesians, so chapters 4 to 6. I think we're going to end up sticking in 4 probably most of the time, although we've moved into 5 today, and actually some of the rest of 5 is really a practical outworking in a particular context around marriage, parenting, and children. And then there's a bit about slaves that you kind of think, well, that doesn't really apply to us today. Well, actually, if we think about how that works in workplace environments, there's something to speak of that. And that helps us, and that might be something for us to read separately, thinking, well, I'm going to live out my calling. Do these speak to me? So don't ignore that or dismiss that, but could go back to read that. But we want to stay in this verse. And as a prisoner of the Lord. So remembering that Paul is writing this in prison, his faith, his stepping out, his walking out, his call has resulted him in prison. And he's writing this saying, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. This is a word that he speaks a number of times in a number of places to churches. As he writes, it's kind of his call to arms, his let's get on and live this out. Philippians, writing to the church in Philippi, he says, whatever happens, for Paul, he's in prison, he's been shipwrecked, he's been beaten, he's been removed from his community, he's suffered. But he's saying, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, of the good news of all that he's done for you. Colossians, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. He's writing to the church in Colossae saying, live out this for the Lord. Please him in every way. And he talks about the prayer that he's praying for those people. And we're going to come back to that at the end. But praying a prayer that we would know the knowledge of his will, that we might live it out. Because it's going to look different for each and every one of us. There's no set formula, there's no set plan that is a kind of everyone fits into. Our living out a call worthy is different to someone else's. So we need to know his will. And he writes to the church in Thessalonica saying, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of the God who calls you. And again, he uses the analogy there of a father teaching his children. That he operates, Paul writing, operates in that environment as a father speaking to his children saying, I want to encourage you. I want to bring comfort and urge you to live out. That is part of my call for you as a church. And I want us to take on that as well. But let's just think about two words in there before we move on to look at what this looks like. Firstly, the worthy. What does it mean by to live a life worthy of the calling? Well, the description and the word used there could mean worth as much as, to weigh as much as, equivalent to. The idea gives of the counterbalance, that God has done all of this, so our response is equivalent to, a counterbalance to all that he has done for us. So in some senses, as we receive more, we're able to walk out more. And that's part of this process. And part of the Paul's letter is helping us to think through that. How do we get this thing moving? How does our response come out of this? But there's a character to it as well. And Paul looked at some of this last week because it's in the first four chapters. But there's a character to it as well. Our response and our walking out is humble and gentle. We're walking this out, trying to figure out what God is saying to us, encouraging each other in it, getting it wrong at times. There's a humility and a gentleness that what we think is right is not necessarily right, but it's what we're trying to figure out, and we're open to others challenging us. And to ask those questions, that we're patient with ourselves and with each other, that we're bearing with one another. It goes on to say in love, but we're going to come back to that in a minute, but bearing with one another, that we might all, there's no point one of us working out our calling which tramples over everybody else. We work this out together and making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And I just want to talk briefly about peace, because peace is an interesting one, because what we want when we say peace is we don't want conflict. When we talk about peace, what we want is everyone just to get on with their own thing. But it talks here about making every effort to keep peace. And actually, when there is conflict, the only way to get peace is to work at it. It's something that we have to intentionally work towards. And the word peace here is about health. It's about safety. It's about welfare. It's about a lack of striving. It's reconciliation. It's all things being worked out. And we need to remember that as we step into this, we are coming who are people who have been in the kingdom of darkness and we've entered the kingdom of life, but we carry some of those things with us. God has dealt with it in the cross, but we still carry those things. So we still make mistakes and we still say things that are going to hurt other people. We need to deal with those things. That's what it means to work at peace. It's not just looking for an easy life. It's something that we work out. And as we see through all of the New Testament, through every letter that's written to a church, it can be messy. It's not clean, it's not tidy, but it's a really good thing. Because when we are healthy and it's safe, then God's presence and power moves in great ways. So let's just hold that in mind as we think about peace and when we strive towards peace, that is something that can be messy. And the other word there is calling. The favor and privilege of the invitation. God has given you an invitation. It's a corporate invitation to be the church of God. It's an invitation that is corporate that says, for some bizarre reason, that God created us and then decided that he wanted us to be part of seeing his kingdom come. I'm pretty sure there was a better way of doing it. I'm pretty sure he could have just snapped his fingers and gone, sorted. But he decided that he wanted to use us. And so there is a favor and privilege of the invitation. One of the phrases he uses is our station in life. It's the thing that we're called to. I was thinking about, I don't know if any of you have ever seen, I'm not really sure why I've ever seen this film, because it feels like it's the totally wrong film of my genre to enjoy or watch, but it's The Princess Diaries. I told you it was a bit random. I have seen it, yeah. I have no idea how I ended up watching that film. Anyway, but it's just something about the fact that she operates in one world, in one realm. So it's a film about someone who lives in America and she just gets on with life and then somehow, I can't remember how it happens, but somehow she discovers that actually she's a princess of this European country and that she's actually got to be operating like this. It's an interesting story, isn't it? Someone who thought they were one thing and actually were another. But it's her working out how does she live in this new reality. And that's what this sense of calling is about. We've got a new calling. We're a new people. Let's live it out. So, three things I want to look at very briefly and just give us questions to go away and ponder in communities and in just conversations. Come and find some space in the Spire coffee shop and have a conversation about this with whoever's around. What does this look like? But living a life worthy of the calling means that we live in the light, we live in love, and we live a life of imitation. I want to look at that briefly through this passage. So living in the light, we see this first section tells us what the character is like. Then this passage that we've looked at a few times now already, which gives this sense of God giving gifts through Jesus to his people, which tells us there that there's a diversity, that our gifting is diverse, that what we do and how we work that out is different for each of us. But then he goes on to say, That we must no longer live as Gentiles do in the futility of the thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God. And later on, we didn't read it today, but later on in chapter 5, it says, For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. That means we live out. We let out what God has given us, but that also means that there's things in us of that darkness world that need to also be let out. It means that we are open to working that out. Because the reality that he goes through and explains to us is one of working out those different things. Being open to others. Allowing challenge from others. As we read through that passage, we see an active engagement in dealing with arguments. Don't let the sun go down on your argument. Dealing with stealing in whatever form that looks like. Falsehood. Embellishing. Making things look better than they are. Unwholesome talk. Gossip. Grieving the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? What does that look like? Bitterness, rage, brawling and slander. All these things that are being dealt with as we enter into and become people living in light. These are the things that come out. As we share our lives with others, these are the things that come out. I think I mentioned a few weeks ago the reality, I think it was in the evening actually, the reality of going to something like New Wine. And I know lots of people like New Wine and lots of people don't like New Wine, and there's a number of reasons they don't like New Wine. One is because they don't like camping. And the second is often because you end up seeing each other's lives really close up. And I'm encouraged by it because I think, oh man, everyone else is making the same mistakes as I am with my kids. It's so good. But actually, that's quite a scary thing to do as well. But there's something about living our lives in the light that says that we don't pretend that everything is sorted, but that we work through the realities of these things. We live as children of the light and allow his light to shine into us, that those things that have been in the dark are dealt with. It goes on again to talk about those different things in chapter 5. The impurities, the greed, the improper, these are improper for God's holy people. Obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking are all out of place. What are the things that we try and keep hidden in the dark and just hope that no one ever knows about them? Those are the things that the cross is all about. Those are the things that he's dealt with. The things that we ponder. So question one. How are we responding to God's challenge to live in the light and allow him to deal with these things? Secondly, live in love. It's all about love. The word love we've taught before is the word agape. It's a love that only God gives, but he encourages us as we receive it to share it with others. Throughout this passage, we see bearing with one another in love, recognizing the love that God has given us, and we do that with others. That when we get impatient with someone else, we remember how patient God was with us. When someone says something to us that offends us, we don't just go off in a huff, but we recognize that there was something else going on, that perhaps something was just not right for them that day. And we go and talk to them because that's what it tells us to do. And we just say, that really hurt when you said that. But we say it in love. And we give them space to kind of go, do you know what? I was having a really bad day and this happened and this happened and I'm really sorry. But so often we miss that opportunity. We speak the truth in love. When we know one another, when we get to know each other and we see something, can we just say, do you know that you do that quite a lot? We want to encourage our small community to do that with each other as we spend time together and hang out together. We notice things in each other that perhaps we've never noticed ourselves. But again, we speak it in love, recognizing all that God has done for us. And 5 verse 2 says, dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave it to him. So we bear, we speak, and we walk in love. Agape love. So what does it mean for us to respond to others in love? How do we do things differently? Again, something to continue to ponder and think about. And finally, we live a life of imitation. It says in 5 verse 2, or 1 actually, follow God's example. Some translations say, imitate God. Follow him. Be like him. Therefore, as dearly loved children. His invitation is to be like him. We are his children, and he wants us to be like him. He's given us an example in Jesus. Not just so often we get to the Christmas and Easter. We remember Jesus was born and we remember he died. But we forget that he lived on earth and gave us an example. It may be we think, well, that's a really weird example because it was a long time ago and the contexts are different. But there's principles in there that we can follow, that we can imitate. His teaching helps us to do that. A few years ago, it was around the time of the ice bucket challenge, and I ended up doing it in a park in London. I can't really remember why I was in a park in London doing it at the ice bucket challenge, but as we were kind of in the park with our kids as well, I noticed this girl who must have been about 3 or 4 walking around the park, playing in the park, and then I suddenly noticed that she went like this. And then she walked around the park, playing in the park, and she was like, blah, 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 blah. And I was suddenly like, oh my word. She must have been watching probably her family on the phone, and kind of that became the game, that she was kind of on her phone as she was walking around the park. Because kids imitate. I notice all the things, the mannerisms, the things that I do, because I see my kids doing it, and then go, oh, I do that too. And I say to my mum, oh, so-and-so does this, and they go, yeah, you used to do that too. Like, oh, no, I didn't. But because we imitate. And God's inviting us to do the same. Follow his example. He's our model, our way of living. Are we prepared to let him lead? Are we prepared to let him lead his way and not our way? Are we prepared to let go of those things that he wants us to let go of? But Paul goes on in other letters. He reminds us as well, not just are we imitating God, but are we allowing others to imitate us? Not because we've got it sorted, but people see how to live out this walk. Are we helping others to learn how to pray because they see us pray? Are we helping others to learn how to read the Bible because we give them space to do that? Are we helping others? Are we helping our households and our communities to learn how to disagree well because they see us do it well? They imitate what we do. So are we giving space? Are we allowing God to lead us so that he is in control and he is in charge of our time, of our energy, of our careers, of our money? Are we allowing him to dictate and lead us to know the answer to the question, what does it look like for us to seek first the kingdom of God? Will we let him do that? Will we let him lead us, and will we follow, imitating him as he does likewise? So those three questions. How are we responding to God's challenge to live in the light? How do we respond in love? What does that mean that we need to do? How are we following, imitating God and his example that he's given to us in Jesus? Do we let that model dictate our way of living? But let me just come and finish, because I want to remind us that it's a response. It's a response to God. It's response to all that he has done. But let me just read from the passage that we looked at with Colossians, where it encouraged us to live a life worthy of the Lord. And it says, Paul was writing to that church, and he says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. What does it look like for you to live out this calling? That understanding and knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that Spirit gives. Will we respond to his Spirit? That challenge in Ephesians of not grieving the Holy Spirit. Will we let the Holy Spirit lead us? Do we know how to do that? Do we need to get around others to help us to do that? So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Not to get any extra benefits, not to get into heaven, but just to respond and say, God, you've done so much for me. I just want to live this out for you. So I want to give us space to respond. What's God saying to you today? What does it mean for you to live out a calling that is worthy and a response to all that God has done for you? As I prepared this, I was reading it and thinking, I fall so far short. There's so much in this that I just think I need to do some of this as well. So I don't want to stand here going, you lot get it sorted because I'm sorted. I want to say I need this as much as anybody. So I want to invite us, and we're going to come and the band will lead us in some worship. We've got some time and some space. But I just want to invite us, and I want to pray this prayer for us. I want to pray this prayer for me. And so I'm going to get us to stand. So why don't we just do that now? Because it's always that kind of like, I say that, and then people are like, do I stand now? Do I not stand? So let's stand up. Let's just take a moment to ask the Lord, what are you saying to me today? What's jumped out at you? Was there a word, a phrase, one of those questions? Invite us to be brave and to move. And I want to pray this prayer, and I'm going to read it again from Colossians. And I'm praying it for myself, but if you want to pray this prayer, if you want to ask God, if you want to join in with this prayer, asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will so that you might live out the calling, live out a life worthy of the Lord, I just want to encourage you to come and join me. Just come and join me at the front. Not because there's anything special at the front, but it just moves us out of the place that we're at, and it says, actually, I want to step into. I want to walk this out. If you don't want to come to the front, move to the side, move to the aisles. I want to encourage us to be brave and to move. So just come and start moving. Thank you for those that are moving. God, to fill us, Lord, with the knowledge of your will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that we may live worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, that we might be people who bear fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that we may have great endurance and patience and give joyful thanks to the Father. Thank you that we are a people who respond to you because of all that you've done for us. And so, Holy Spirit, would you come and fill your people? You come and fill us afresh. front. I'm just going to invite anyone who's left who is able to pray, just to come and just to pray a blessing upon us. So just stay there as long as you are. We're going to continue to worship those that haven't moved at this point. You're still responding, and that's okay. And but for those of us as well, just let's cover this time with praise and with worship. Allow God to do what he's doing. Continue to ask him, what is it that he's saying to you today? What is it that you